Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations, text number 31. Is that right? Yata nabhasi megho gho renurva pativo nile evam drashtari trishyatvam aropitam abudit abudibi. Okay. Aropitam abudibihi. Yata nabhasi megho go. Renurva partivo nile. Evam drashtari drishyatvam. Aropitam abudibihi. Yata. As it is, we need some more battery. Nabhasi. In the sky. Mega Ogaha. A mass of clouds. Renu. Dust. Va. As well as partivaha, muddiness, anile, in the air, evam, thus, drashtari, to the seer, tishyatvam, for the purpose of seeing, aropitam, is implied, abudibhi, by the less intelligent persons. Clouds and dust are carried by the air, but less intelligent persons say that the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. Purport. It is further confirmed herein that with our material eyes and senses we cannot see the Lord who is all spirit. We cannot even detect the spiritual spark which exists within the material body of the living being. We look to the outward covering of the body or subtle mind of the living being, but we cannot see the spiritual spark within the body. So we have to accept the living being's presence by the presence of his gross body. Similarly, those who want to see the Lord with their present material eyes or with the material senses are advised to meditate on the gigantic external feature called the Virat Rupa. For instance, when a particular gentleman goes in his car, which can be seen very easily, we identify the car with the man within the car. When the president goes out in his particular car, we say there is the president. For the time being, we identify the car with the president. Similarly, less intelligent men who want to see God immediately, without necessary qualifications, are shown first the gigantic material cosmos as the form of the Lord, although the Lord is within and without. The clouds in the sky and the blue of the sky are better appreciated in this connection. Although the bluish tint of the sky and the sky itself are different, we conceive of the colour of the sky as blue, but that is a general conception for the laymen only. Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam tadakti svapadantikam mukkam karoti vachalam pangum nangayate gurim yakripadamaham mande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So being able to see Krishna depends on qualification. What's the qualification for being able to see Krishna? Yes, possibly. Love. Ooh, love. Yes, love. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. How does one... But certainly love is required. But what is required before love? Faith. Shraddha. One has to have some faith that God even exists. One of the problems with most people is that, and we were discussing this the other day at Krishna Fest, people want to be able to be shown God, but without having any qualification to see Him. Right? Show me God. And they want to try and see God with material apparatus, with the material senses, with the material mind and senses. They want to be able to see God. But as is mentioned here in this purport, with our material eyes and senses, we cannot see the Lord. Why? Because He is all spirit. So beyond the perception of the material sense perception, the spiritual cannot be perceived through the material, because the spiritual is beyond material. The example that Srila Prabhupada gives is of a mechanic. I mentioned this the other day. A mechanic, you know, we're driving our motor car and then the car breaks down. We open up the bonnet and we look inside. We can't see anything. We don't even know where to start to look to work out what's wrong with the car. So what do? We take it to a mechanic. The mechanic opens up the car and immediately knows what to look for in terms of, you know, what's wrong with the motor vehicle. Because he has the proper qualification, he's able to see how to fix the car. We look at it and we think, oh, this is a mess. Well, actually, it doesn't look like a mess. We know it's a mess because it's not working. But otherwise, it looks just like a car does. So because the mechanic has a qualification, he can see things, at least in motor cars, in such a way so he knows how to fix it. In fact, in this day and age, you know, what you do is you take your car to the garage, then they hook it up to a machine. They turn it on, they hook it up to a machine, and then the machine tells them what's wrong with it. Right? So Prabhupada makes a point. If a motor car, which is not a very complicated device, really, in one sense, requires training and qualification to understand what to speak of God. So the qualification begins with the personality having some faith. Ado Shraddha. That's what brings us to Krishna ultimately, is that the devotees have some, the primary qualification, the initial qualification, the beginning, is that there's some appreciation that beyond the material there has to be something superior, there has to be something more subtle, more powerful, more, or shall we say, spiritual, that there is a purpose. There's a purpose to existence. That everything isn't just a random occurrence. You know, some accident. You know, the creation is not just didn't happen randomly out of some, as is popularly explained, some explosion, a big bang. They're giving people millions of dollars to analyze the universe as it existed right after the Big Bang, whenever that was presumed to have happened. Of course, you know, when we find explosions in real life, then all we get is chaos. But somehow, according to the so-called scientific minds, we have an explosion, and then out of explosion we get order. Not quite sure how that works. But it makes more sense to appreciate that out behind the order there's a person. Person makes sense. Explosions that create chaos that eventually produces order doesn't make sense, it's not logical. So, you know, some faith, some initial appreciation or understanding, some even just an inkling, there must be a purpose to existence. There's so much order in the running of the universe. You know, the sun comes up at a particular time, it goes down at a particular time, the moon moves in a particular way, the seasons change. It has structure and order. Another thing we were discussing at Krishna Fest the other day, the earth is spinning on an axis in such a way so that it nourishes and nurtures life. This is something to consider. Yet if the earth was tilted even 1 degree either way or the other, we'd either be toast, right, or we'd be refrigerated. Everything would be ice. So it's just balanced in such a way so that we get this perfect order and this, the creation of life. It just happened by accident. And of course there is a purpose. Real purpose of life is to ultimately understand one's spiritual identity. And so therefore the creation is designed in such a way so that we see the evolution of the consciousness, not the evolution of species, but the evolution of consciousness, so that we can come to the human form of life, and in the human form of life we can inquire, what is the purpose of existence? Who am I? What am I doing here? What is life's real purpose? And that's what distinguishes the human beings from the animals. The ability to inquire and to hear. And of course that's what brings this inquisitiveness, or at least this appreciation that there is a higher purpose in life. This is the beginning, Adol Shraddha. That's what brings us into the association of the devotees. Was it Adol Shraddha? Sadhu Sangha. Having some faith that God exists, that one comes into the association of the devotees, and then in the association of the devotees one hears. This is the importance of the Bhagavatam. Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Ketana Hiyabhadrani. What is it? What's the next line? Abhadrani. What comes next? Vidunoti Suritsatam. Is that right? The abhadrani are the inauspicious things that exist. The material consciousness, basically, thinking that we're a product of matter, is inauspicious. The auspicious vision or the auspicious approach is to understand that actually I'm not part of the material creation. I'm something separate. Right? Which isn't difficult to understand. You know, we look at our hand and we say, am I my hand? Right? Didn't you ever got a book for Dhruva? I think it's called Who Am I? It's got pictures of, have you seen that book? Got pictures of a little girl. And she's, you know, she's saying, who am I? Am I my hand? Am I my head? Am I my foot? She puts her foot up. No, I'm something separate from all of those things, even the mind. I know I'm separate from the mind. You know, there are the philosophers who say, I think, therefore I am. Product of the mental. But we understand that actually the self is something separate from all of those things. But again, it requires some faith in the existence of something beyond the material. Otherwise, and this is what the point that's being made here, you know, when we can only see things from the material point of view, we can only meditate on and understand things from the material point of view, then it's very difficult to, or it's impossible actually, to appreciate the presence of God. Because he's not material. And so if we're using material mind and senses to approach the non-material, it actually is impossible. The spiritual can only be appreciated by spirit. That's why devotional service is considered to be the perfection of religion. Because it gives direct perception of the self. Through the practice of devotional service, we actually are, by purifying the mind and the senses, because we all have a material body, a material mind and senses, but at the same time the spirit soul also has a covering, or actually is pure spirit, with pure senses and a pure mind. We actually have, that's part of our spiritual nature. You know, if spirit is personal, then that means we are persons. And as spirit persons, we have mind and senses, spiritual mind and senses. And it's through the spiritual mind and senses that we can perceive our own, we realize our own identity, and we can also perceive our relationship with Krishna. That requires purification. So in the beginning, we hear. And we hear that we are not a product of the material energy, but that rather we're spiritual by nature. And as Prabhupada says here, we cannot even detect the spiritual spark which exists within the material body of the living being. We can't see, unless we're very fully purified, we're not able to see or perceive the spirit soul within the body. We know that it's there by its symptoms, but you can't see the soul itself with material senses. Huh? And so how do we know that somebody exists? We have to see, we look at it from the material perspective. And Prabhupada says this. So we have to accept the living being's presence by the presence of his gross body. Similarly, how do we accept the presence of God? This is the example that's been given here. We accept the presence of God by looking at his Virat Rupa, by the external manifestation of this gigantic universal form. Although actually it's an imagined form. But in order to encourage those who have a material perspective and see things from a material vision, we point to the different qualities and characteristics of the Virat Rupa to help them perceive or understand the presence of the spiritual form which exists within it, the Vishvatma, if you like, the Atma of the universe. Who's the Atma of the universe? What's his name? Shivadukasai Vishnu. Garbhadakasai Vishnu. Which one? Yeah. That's an interesting. Okay. I would have gone for Chiradakasai Vishnu myself, but they're both correct. And then Prabhupada gives the example here of driving a car. When the president or the queen, you know, the queen was driving, was it the other day, in a Range Rover, isn't it? Black Range Rover. So there was, they see the black Range Rover and they say, oh, look, there's the queen. Everybody's very focused on what the queen does, what she wears, what she eats, who she speaks to, what she says. Everybody is attracted to a leader, right, of sorts. So when the queen goes out in her car, then we say, oh, there goes the queen. But actually it's her car, it's not the queen. When we see our friends walking, we say, oh, look, there's Johnny. Well, actually it's not Johnny, it's Johnny's body. But we appreciate his Johnny because inside the body is the spirit soul. But we can't see the spirit soul. Effectively, we can't see the spirit soul, not with our material vision. So similarly, Prabhupada says, less intelligent men who want to see God immediately without necessary qualifications are shown first the gigantic material cosmos as the form of the Lord, although the Lord is within and without. It's not possible to see the spiritual without qualification, without purification. You know, that's, we've come up through all of the different species of life to the human form of life with an opportunity then, given an opportunity then, to become purified so that our consciousness is elevated, gradually elevated from you know, it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, anamaya is basically I eat, therefore I am. Right? The basic. We went to see Pinky last night. Pinky's daughter is what? 4 weeks old today. When she's hungry, she starts screaming, which is quite a lot, every couple of hours. Right. So basically babies, and us too, right, if we don't get fed, we get upset. Right? So we're all, to one degree or another, affected by this anamaya. If we don't get our breakfast, then we start to wonder what life is for. Huh? If you can't have your breakfast, then what's going on around here? More elevated than just eating is acting. Action. Pranamaya. Which is a lot of the consciousness of most people. Where most people are situated. I am what I do, basically. And when I was walking to the temple and everybody's driving in their cars going to work, I am an IT professional. Or I am a businessman, I am a designer, that. So many things. Based on what they do. Pranamaya. Or my favourite example is a footballer, you know, he kicks a goal and he goes, I did it. We won. What they don't realise is that their destiny is already predetermined. The fact that we're going to win that game was already determined many, many lifetimes ago. But they think, what is it? Kakaham iti manyate. I'm the doer. I'm the doer. But actually the material energy is the doer. You're just a passenger in the vehicle. Anyway, this is pranamaya. Then there's manamaya. I think, therefore I am, which is slightly more elevated. Action on a subtle level. And on the subtle level, we get drama and dance and art and music and culture, if you like. And human beings think, oh, that's what sets us above the animals. We're more elevated than the animals because we have culture. In Australia, culture is spelled with a K, by the way. We have culture. But actually that, you know, so-called culture is simply a reflection, albeit a subtle reflection, of the prana, of the energy. It's not that much more elevated. It certainly is more sophisticated. And it distinguishes the human beings from the animals. But the real facility, more elevated and more advanced, is jnanamaya, where one understands that I'm none of those things. That I'm separate from the eating person or the acting person or the thinking person, but I'm actually the spirit spark that makes the whole body run. Without the presence of the spiritual, then you may have enough food, right? You may have a working body, you may even have, well, you won't, the mind won't be there without the presence of the soul, because Prabhupada gives the example of the shirt and the coat, right? The material body is like shirt and coat, because it has a gross and a subtle aspect. The gross aspect is like the overcoat, and the subtle aspect is like the shirt. But they have form because of the presence of the body. The shirt and coat have form because of the presence of the body. So similarly also, the gross material body and the subtle material body have form because of the presence of the spirit soul. But the subtle body is what carries us from one body to another. So we may eat well, we may act, and we may think, but that happens because of the presence of the soul. And when the soul, when our, the proper evolution of consciousness is when we appreciate and learn to understand that actually we're beyond the eating, beyond the acting, beyond the subtle thinking, but that actually we're spiritual. And that actually there is spiritual action on all of those levels. It's beyond the material. And that then brings us to Ananda Maya, where we appreciate real happiness and real satisfaction. We get satisfaction out of eating, we get satisfaction out of eating, acting and thinking. But the real pleasure and satisfaction from doing those activities comes when we realize our spiritual identity. That's the perfection of human existence. Otherwise, our behavior is not that much different to the animals. Because the animals' consciousness is basically, I am this body. And their activities are dictated by the body. They can't stop themselves. Whereas in the human form of life, we have the opportunity to control our animal propensities and focus our actions and endeavours on developing our spiritual understanding of things. This is the real benefit of the human form of life. The challenge is to, you know, to withstand or to avoid the animal pushings. No? Anybody have that problem? Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. One who learns, one who can control the urges of the mind and the senses can come to a proper understanding of things as they are. Whereas those who are absorbed in a bodily concept, very difficult. So this is a preliminary understanding, if you like. For those who are absorbed on a materialistic measure of things, they're encouraged to see the Virat Rupa. To get some appreciation, to get some indication, to get some understanding, preliminary understanding of that which is actually beyond the perception of the senses. Okay, I think I'll finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Form. It has a form, yes.
It's what got you this body. So Prabhupada gives the example. If you develop the mentality of a hog, then you get a subtle body of a hog. And so in this lifetime, developing the subtle body of a hog, that subtle body will carry you into the semen of a hog daddy. Right? You then get placed within the womb of your hog mummy, and then oink oink, you come out with the body of a hog. So you've got form, but you, in your last lifetime, you didn't have the consciousness of a hog. You had the consciousness of a human being. And so you got your daddy and your mummy. And this is the form that you've got, closest to the spiritual form, or closer to the spiritual form. So it must have form. But it's subtle, it's not gross. Yes.
So when it happens that one goes back to Godhead, what happens to the material senses and the material mind?
They stay in the material world. They cover up everybody else. No, because they're a universal feature. They're a universal covering, if you like, that covers all of the living entities in the material world. But when we become purified from that covering, then we're released from that. Still remains in the material world and covers all of the living entities in the material creation, but we get released from it. So we can then act in our pure spiritual form, no longer covered by the material mind and senses that exist here that cover, you know, that covers the living entities still in the material world. So one's released from the effect of that covering, but it still exists, it just doesn't cover us anymore. The fact that we're still attached to them, that's the problem. We think, oh, what will happen to my mind and senses when I go back home, back to Godhead? Oh, no, maybe I should stay here. They'll be lost without me. What happened? This is, you know, what will happen to the material world if I go back home, back to Godhead? The real problem is that, you know, it is difficult to perceive of the spiritual realm and spiritual activity when we're so absorbed in, you know, this sense of self. So we're strongly attached, and you know the false ego is the thickest covering of the universe, right? Because we're so attached to this sense of identity, and without it we're not sure that we'll exist. We can't see the spiritual world, we can't taste it.